Dates, and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. Welcome to Dates and Mates, where modern love is made simple. I'm so excited to be sitting here in studio with my co-host, Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textbird app. Hello, sir.
Aloha, Mrs. D.
Aloha. Oh, we're going on a little tropical vacay today?
Am I saying goodbye or hello? It's very confusing.
Oh, wow. Sort of.
I actually have to go.
No. We are just getting started because we have so much to share with our listeners today. We're going to talk about a love drug that might be keeping you in bad relationships. Plus, we have five outdated pieces of marriage advice that need to be archived. Yep, put on the shelf. Don't follow them. We'll tell you what not to listen to that your mama says. We have a new report on the interracial marriage boom. And a surprising apology, or maybe you could say sexpology, from a big star who cost a waitress her job. I almost made a joke about jobs, but then I decided it's not going to be that kind of show today. We also have lots of juicy Textbird questions to talk about that you've posted in the Textbird app. And in the Love Exposé, we'll reveal, what is a healthy sex life? How often? How much? How long? All of those things. I know you're wondering, are you normal in the sex department? We'll give you the benchmarks and we'll let you know in a little bit. Oh, and also, Ray reminded me that we have to tell you about The Bachelorette. I teased a little bit about it last week. I got a chance to get caught up for you, and I'll share my thoughts on what Miss Rachel Lindsay and all of her adorable suitors are up to. Producer Thomas?
Yes, Damona?
Are you ready to dish?
I am ready to dish.
D's Dating Dish!
Are you on the love drug, Ray?
You know, some might say love in itself is a bit of a drug.
Well, there are drugs happening in your system when you're in love, whether or not you are injecting them, snorting them,
I've been
putting it under your tongue. You're mainlining some oxytocin, right?
Some ho tea.
If you're in love, yes, you are mainlining oxytocin. But here's the really weird thing. There was a new study that revealed that oxytocin, the drug that bonds people, so this is when you're in love, when it also happens when a parent is with a child or when you're in labor, something you fortunately will never have to deal with. But it also is released when you are in a failing relationship. And it actually encourages you to bond when you feel that the relationship is threatened. So it's like you can't live with them. You can't live without them. You can't beat these hormones.
It's almost like withdrawal of any drug. As you start to pull away from it, it kind of sucks you back in with symptoms or a struggle or a desire for that alcohol or heroin or crack or cocaine, whatever it is.
So you've heard.
asking for a friend. So it's like as your oxytocin balances are dropping, your body says, no, wait, here, take a shot here. You want another hit? You want another hit, don't you? Come on. And then you go back to your ex or your soon-to-be ex.
What a fascinating concept. Yeah, that was a very astute observation. And it makes a lot of sense because I do hear this a lot from clients who are like, I don't know if I should stay in this relationship or go, but I feel like I can't get out of it. And, you know, me, I'm like, well, then just move on, honey. But, you know, with the hormones, those things are powerful. But interestingly, the study also showed that if you know the relationship is over, if you've just shut that wall, then the oxytocin isn't released. So it's only when you're in that wishy-washy, waffling phase of should I stay or should I go, do those feelings get stronger. So don't listen to them. Say, that's just hormones.
That's just you wanting that one last hit. Do you know that when you look at your dog in the eyes, I'm a dog lover. When you make eye contact with dogs and their owners, oxytocin releases then as well.
That's so interesting because yesterday, please don't send PETA after me, but I accidentally kicked my dog in the eye.
Accidentally?
I swear.
Sure.
I swear. I was not looking where I was going. I was on my phone and I was coming around my bed and she was sitting right on the corner of, like, at the bottom of my bed and I didn't see her. And I just hear this, like, ah! I've never heard that. I've never heard that noise from her. And I felt so bad. I looked into her eyes and I felt so bad. And I felt more bonded to her then than I ever have felt.
Futurist question for you, Mrs. D. Do you think at some point we might do like a pill of oxytocin? Like, hey, babe, the relationship's kind of struggling. Should we take a hit of this oxytocin? Ooh. Should we bump this oxytocin? It's like a pill where we'll fall back in love together.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. I think, yes, I think we're all about synthetic everything mm-hmm. now. So, you know, if people used to go to oxygen bars, do people still go to oxygen bars?
I think they died. They went the way of the dodo.
They didn't get enough oxygen.
They got choked out.
I could totally see that happening. And actually, I think it would be a good idea for anyone. But don't take too much.
Like, if someone's going to slip me something in my drink, I wouldn't mind if it's oxytocin. I'm just loving everybody.
Better than a roofie. You know what else is better than a roofie? Marriage. But, I mean, for some.
Nice try. Nice try on that segment.
My marriage is better than a roofie. But a lot of marriage advice is not. And there's this article on Romper that said there was certain marriage advice that people should ignore. Things that they kind of look back at old advice from the 1950s that wives used to get in these magazines and pamphlets about how to be a better wife and mother. And so in this article, it told us which ones we should ignore. And so I'll tell you what they were, and then I'll tell you what I think the article should be called. So the first one is forgive and forget. And it referenced an article that women were told in the 1950s, like, to just basically get over it.
Right.
Second one is you should have frequent sex.
Okay.
We'll be talking later about a healthy sex life. Disregard daily disagreements. So it's kind of the same as like forgive and forget a little bit, but it was like just compromise. Oh no, that was a different one. Then there was compromise more.
Again, so these are examples of like
what you should not.
Bad advice.
Bad advice. And you won't be happy without children. So interestingly, okay, I agree with not being. You won't be happy without children is outdated advice. I think actually a lot of people would be happier without children. Not me, of course, but it's not for everybody. You know, and I actually say this to a lot of my clients who feel like they don't want to have kids, women, but they feel like if they say in their dating profile that they're not wanting to have kids, that people think it's like a ploy to trap a man. And then ultimately they want to have kids, or that they're less feminine somehow because they don't want kids. This is a real problem for women that don't want kids. Because it's like if you're a woman that doesn't want to be a mother, it's like, oh, well, then you must be, you know, a selfish bitch.
Right.
That's how they feel. I'm not saying, but I think it's not for everybody. And you, if it's not in the cards for you, you shouldn't force yourself to do that.
There's a couple that jumped out at me. I agree with that, and I agree with most of this article. I would even add this myth of, like, make sure you have many shared interests and tons of shared interests. I don't know. I think it's also okay to have, like, separate hobbies where you kind of separate from your lover, wife, husband for a little bit, for a day, and then the heart grows fonder, as they say.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I don't think shared interest has any bearing on your relationship future.
Yeah, and, like, what were people doing in the 50s? Like, were they just all idiots? I know it's the greatest generation, but like 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Lucky Strike cigarettes and forgive and forget and disregard daily disagreements. Like, I don't know, this whole make America great again, the 50s and the 60s, the 40s and 50s were like kind of weird when you look at it. But the one that really stood out at me was the disregard daily disagreements. And I agree, that is bad advice. You need to nip that stuff in the bud and address it as soon as it comes up. Don't let stuff fester. I think the best relationships are ones that are open and honest and address things as they come up.
Yes. However, in the article, the daily disagreements, they were saying things that you're fighting about again and again and again. And I think there are some things that it's just not worth it to fight about. Like, my husband is not going to clean the kitchen in the morning after breakfast. And I can keep asking him, but it's going to result in the same outcome, and then it's just going to make me feel more frustrated. So I can either accept that that is not within his wheelhouse, or I can continue to have this argument and nag him and be frustrated, you know. And I think, like, that's just one example, but I think there are a lot of people who want to change something about their partner, and so then they keep harping on the same issue, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then suddenly your relationship becomes about you trying to change this one trait about your partner.
Right. There's some places you have to meet halfway. The one that I thought was most controversial and also toughest to grasp was the don't worry about frequent sex. And for me as a sexual person, I can't even conceive of a relationship that's healthy without a good amount of sex. But I forget that if I am a certain number on the scale of how sexual I am, that means there's people that aren't that sexual and that it's not that important to them. So they don't have to be boning five times a week or more, and they're still okay.
But I think you and your partner should be around the same level.
True.
And also that will change over time as hormones change and life. It will. Well, we'll talk about that later in the love expose. The one I had issues with was compromise more. Because I think if you're speaking to both men and women, I think both parties should aim to compromise more. So I would posit that this article should be called old-fashioned dating advice that both partners should follow, not just the women. Right?
Not follow.
No. Should follow.
Well, hold on. Were we just talking about a completely different thing the
because
whole time?
This is about what women were told in the 50s.
That was bad advice.
That was bad advice. And I don't think it's all bad advice.
Okay.
I think it's good advice if both partners are doing it for the most part. You know what was not so great in the 50s? Interracial marriage. But it turns out now there's been a boom in interracial relationships, and 1 in 6 newlyweds in the U.S. now are identified as interracial couples, and that's kind of a lot. That's kind of a lot. Since 50 years ago, when there were only 3% of interracial marriages, now we're like at 17%. That's a pretty big jump in a short period of time.
It is a big jump. It's an impressive number in such a short time. You know, if I'm going to take the pulpit of the white guy in the room, since Thomas is so...
He's white other.
...effusive about not being traditional white. For me, the whole concept of, like, interracial marriages is almost like a non-story for me. Because, ultimately, as long as there's no bigotry in place in America, there's no laws preventing it, what people want to do, and there's no bigotry, I don't care who you marry. Within your race, outside your race, I just legitimately don't care.
You don't care, but a lot of people do care.
Well, that's an issue if people do care. But like, should I feel bad for not caring about interracial marriages? Like, should I feel worse that I marry a white girl because I wasn't progressive and married a Hispanic girl?
Yeah, you should. I thought it was interesting though that black and Hispanic men were more likely to intermarry, and That kind of surprised me. Because I don't know, in my mind, I always think of, we've talked about like the exotic word. Like, I feel like there.
You
from
look
what,
so exotic today.
Thank you. From what I've heard, I hear more from guys that are like, ooh, I want to go black. Oh, like on The Bachelorette. I'll tell you about that later. But I don't hear as much like from Hispanic men, like, ooh, I'm gonna go white. But I guess it's what's happening. Maybe they don't have to talk about it like that.
Maybe you should hang out with Hispanic men more often.
Good point. Touche. I should. One last quick thing that was really surprising to me. So Orlando Bloom, since the breakup with Katy Perry, has been sowing his wild oats. And we just learned that there was a waitress named Viviana Ross, who was making eyes at him at the upscale London hotel and restaurant, the Chiltern Firehouse, where she worked. And he took her upstairs to his room.
Gave her a good tip.
Oh, your joke was better than mine. I was going to say started some fires of his own, but yours is better. You win. And I don't know how it happened, but somehow she got caught in his bed naked the next morning. And so she got fired. And so he apologized to her for sexing her up. But I would say it's actually a good thing because she's gotten way more press now for her acting slash waitressing career than she ever would.
If you're a young dame and you can, you know, sacrifice a silly waitressing job for a shag with the dreamy Orlando Bloom, that might be a fair exchange.
I think somebody else is going to offer her another waitressing job pretty soon. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have Technically Dating, where we'll be giving dating and relationship advice to you folks at home, all of our Techspert app users. By the way, if you don't have the app yet, why not download it onto your phone and you can post your questions and get an answer from us on a future episode. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, here with Ray Christian. We'll be back in just a moment.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code GIFT18. That's GIFT18 at adamandeve.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I love the questions that you all post on the Techspert app. Y'all are dealing with some real issues, and I'm so glad that you got crowdsourced advice from the Techspert app, but now it's time for a little expert advice, right? In Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
I got my pickaxe and my shovel, and I went digging for the best.
How long does it take you to come up with those analogies there?
It just kind of, it comes to me.
Really?
You're my muse.
Really?
You're my Techspert intro muse.
Oh, good. Glad I could inspire you.
We have a question from a young lady, D. She says, so I wanted to test my boyfriend to see if he actually does care if I bail on him / don't see him when planned. I got this in return, and I'm actually really hurt. Does this mean he doesn't care about me as much as I do about him? What does this mean? And I'll let you play the blue and I'll play the gray.
I don't want to see you today. Sorry, man.
No worries, babe. XXX.
Oh, this is just a classic case of women overthinking and just doing so much. She's just doing way too much. Because, I mean, he's not going to start a fight with you over text. He's trying to keep it cool. Like, this is not a good test of how he feels or what his behavior, you know, where the relationship is headed. This was you just trying to you know, start a kerfuffle. And it's just going to backfire in your face. Because no matter what he says, you're going to find that to be evidence of him not doing what he's supposed to be doing, right?
Well, I don't hate this approach. I think she just executed it poorly. I don't want to see you today. Sorry, man. That sounds too manufactured.
And it's very bro, too. It's like not sexy at all.
Right. It's like,
I'd be like, okay, bye.
It's like when the best way to put a girl in the friend zone, they say, is just call her by her last name. What up, Hoffman? Ooh. It's like, it just like puts them in the friend zone hard and fast. I don't want to see you today. It didn't sound genuine. It sounded like the test was too obvious for him. If she really wanted to do it, she should have said something like, I'm not really feeling great. Can we do it another time? Like, that's a legit way that a person would cancel. I don't want to see you today. Sorry, man. That's bad. And you know what? She did kind of suss out that maybe he is having a wandering eye. No worries, babe. If my girlfriend canceled on me the same day that I was about to see her, I would fight. I'd be like, what are you talking about? What's wrong? No, you are not. I'm going to come over right now.
No, you are not.
I'm looking in your window right now, actually. No, I'm kidding. So
too much oxytocin. Turn it down.
I would fight this if I was like really into this girl, or in my current relationship, I'd be like, no, I want to see you tonight. What's going on? Give me some more information. So I think, yes, he's maybe having a wandering eye.
But Ray, you are very secure. I think a lot of guys are afraid if they say the wrong thing that she might run away, you know? She might disappear. So I think he's trying to just ride that line of playing it cool.
He's doing the old relationship jujitsu.
Yeah.
He's just going with the flow.
Yeah, but she's Matrix testing. Style. Yeah, you're right. It was a kind of obvious test, but
it was too, yeah, it was like, ugh, that's awkward.
Well, what would be an appropriate response if she said, oh, I'm not really feeling up to it?
What's wrong, babe? How are you doing? I want to see you. What's going on? Are you sure? No, I want to see you.
You wouldn't ever just play it cool and just, maybe he's testing her
maybe
back.
Maybe he doesn't want to hang out with her. That's probably what is, she thought maybe he's not that excited about seeing me, and she proved her hypothesis.
Hmm. Well, there you have it.
Moving along.
It's right there in print.
Well, when you can't have one guy, how about two? We have a young lady. She says, I'm stuck between two guys. I have a boyfriend right now, and my first love texted me telling me he misses me and wants me back. And we've been through hell and back together, and we're together for a whole year. And I found someone new, and I don't want to leave him nor hurt him. My heart wants my first love, but my head tells me to stay. I know people say follow your heart, but I just don't know what to do. I'm really depressed about this.
This is a tricky situation. I'm stuck between two guys too, right here. Producer Thomas on one side, got Ray on the other side. What's a gal to do? I think you're just, if you're upfront with both of them about what's happening, and just give yourself a little time to figure it out. And either one will not be okay with that and will self-select.
Wait. Upfront with both of them, how?
That I'm sort of confused right now. Like, I wanted to be back with you, but I met someone else, and I just need to figure this out.
That part, okay, to your ex. But what about, you're saying to your current, be like, hey, bro, my ex is hitting me up, and I'm torn?
I don't know if it's like my ex is hitting me up, but I think you say, like, I'm not really sure where this is going, and, like, I think she needs some time to kind of assess the situation.
Hmm.
Maybe pull back a little bit.
So she should kind of look at this embarrassment of riches and pull away a little bit from both.
I think until she figures it out. Because right now her heart and her head are not in the same space. So she's feeling pulled to her ex. But intellectually she knows that her current is probably a better situation for her right now. But sometimes what we think we should do and how we feel are not in alignment. And if you're really to be in a relationship with someone, I think you have to be fully in love with them with your head and your heart.
It sounds like her ex has given her a bong hit of some oxytocin right now, and she's missing him. And it's tough to know. I wish I knew how long ago they broke up. Because the first like month or two, maybe three or four, it's like too soon and you're just not thinking clearly. I'll give her the for the sake of the argument, let's say it's been enough time and for the dust to settle. So what I would say is maybe do a little test. Go get coffee with the two of them separately on consecutive days. Getting coffee with your boyfriend is no big deal. But then just get coffee with the other one.
Like it's an interview?
See which one like gets the heart a flutter.
You have coffee with your boyfriend, you're like, you are being considered for the role of...
Let's go over your metrics in this relationship. We've had an average of 2 dates a week.
Guess you're right. Like, my advice was more, like, long-term. But in the short term, just, like, figure out if this is real. Because if he's just texting you and he's just playing around, like, you don't want to ruin a good thing. But what concerns me is that she was so moved by it.
Yeah.
Because like I remember there was a situation I talked about it before with a guy that he was just in and out of the relationship, and so I put a stop to it. And in the meantime, I met the man who's now my husband. And then like 5 months later, here comes this other guy trying to do the same old thing, coming in and out. And I'm just like, bye. Like, because by that time, I was so into Seth and I was so invested in my head and my heart that it was like, you're just an obstacle in my way of happiness. And there wasn't that pull of, oh, well, maybe it could work this time.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
And if it is a thought, that's a sign that something may be wrong with your current relationship, or maybe the timing wasn't right for the old relationship, and maybe it's worth a second try.
I actually kind of love that and your advice about pulling away. Maybe she's just not in a good headspace. But alas, this is a question for the fellas. This gent says, how can I be a better boyfriend? I feel like not much has changed since we became official, and it might be boring her.
All right, the resident female in the studio will take this question. There's so many ways to be a better boyfriend. One, be a great listener, right? That's what all women just want to talk and feel like you're hearing what they're saying. Just let her talk. And
huh?
Right. That's why I do the show. Is anyone listening?
Is this thing on?
Hello. She just wants to be seen and recognized. So don't forget to tell her that she's beautiful, because that's what happens in the relationship. You kind of take for granted the things that were really unique and magical. And then, you know, keep it fresh. New experiences, new sexual experiences, and constantly look for ways that you can introduce something different into the relationship that will make it more interesting for both of you. Because if you think you might be boring her, sounds like maybe she's also boring you a little bit. Mm. Not to read too deep in it. That's we never do that.
Salient advice. I would say at a high level, just do what most people don't do on this earth, which is just think a little bit. Just think sometimes. Take 10 minutes a week and just sit down and say, what can I do to make my girlfriend a little bit happier? What's a novel thing I can do? I can get her this or that or a gift. Or, you know, it'd be fun if we did this, maybe putt-putt or a beach trip. Just think for 10 minutes, turn the damn phone off and turn off the TV and just think for a little bit and ponder. And then you'll come up with some ideas.
That's great advice. Are you promoting your meditation CD again?
I'm a big fan of the meditation.
I know.
That's why I'm so meta right now.
I know, right?
Oh, look at Thomas with the Healing and Body Awakening textbook.
Oh, really? Are you going to share that with us later?
Oh, no, I just found that. It's right next to me. Oh. It's been there all
day. Is that, you're just reading it through
I'm
the
just
show?
Reading it through the show.
That's very interesting.
Very centered.
I was going to do a little Instagram live about synchronicity, because that keeps happening to me.
I'm like, Thomas, are you like enlightened and meditating?
Yeah,
He's like, yeah. I mean, I picked up a book one time yeah. and held it up.
While you were doing Ray's rant.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
In the middle of technically dating. That's good advice. And also, I would suggest trying to figure out her love language. If you guys haven't read that book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, you can actually take a quiz. By the way, I'm not getting paid for that or anything. I just like the book. Because everyone communicates love and receives love in different ways. So it's like, if your woman is a words of affirmation person and you keep buying her gifts, she's going to be like, get out of here. She's not going to feel that you're really in love with her. But if you keep telling her how beautiful she is and how much you love her, that's going to resonate with you more. So I'm about acts of service. My husband made not one meal, but two meals for me yesterday.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I'm done. But, you know, for a lot of people, that wouldn't be a thing. Acts of service. Whatever. Tell me. Tell me you love me.
Mm. I like that. Explore. Find out what's their love language. All right. Speaking of giving, a young lady, 18, she's of age. She says, what do I get the guy I'm seeing for his birthday? We're not dating yet, but I still want to get him something nice. Not too expensive, though. He's turning 23.
Cute. I don't know, Ray. I'm going to toss it back to you. I've never been a 23-year-old male. Lingerie? I'm not joking.
little fellatio is a great, great gift. That'd be a big, it's an act of service. But
isn't that expected, though?
you know what? Some girls aren't as good at the giving. But I would say it is hard when you're not exclusive yet. This is like the reason they say you don't want to start a relationship like right before Christmas or right before Valentine's Day or the person's birthday, because you're like, we've been dating for 3 weeks and we're kind of doing something, but I don't know what it is. It's very confusing. Actually, my current girlfriend, we started dating 3 weeks before her birthday. So I was in this quandary. But I would say for a guy, something simple. We all love electronics. Maybe like the Amazon Echo Dot thing. It's like $40. Or take them out somewhere. Like we're going to go to like the softball cages or play mini golf together. Or something fun. That'd be my gift.
I love experiences. Like if you get him tickets to a concert that you've been talking about, or, you know, some sort of event or activity, it's a promise that you're going to do something in the future and that you want them to still be around to be able to use that with you. So I like the experiences, as long as it's something that he actually wants. Like take me to the Four Seasons.
We're going to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I remember you mentioned that before. That's fantastic advice. Like concert tickets is the best gift, no matter what the time, how long you've been dating, at all. It's just perfect.
I will say, as far as the dating right before a birthday, Seth and I started dating 6 weeks before his birthday. I have no idea what I gave him for a gift, but
Felice?
I was gonna say, I think my mother's listening, so I'm not sure. But I do remember it caused quite an issue because he was having a birthday party, and we hadn't had the talk. There was no, you know, DTR talk. And so it was like, here I am at this party with all of these people, and he meant to have the conversation with me before, but he like kind of couldn't, didn't want to, forgot, I don't know. So then it was like, this is Damona. And everybody was like, oh, Damona, because of course they'd heard of me. But it wasn't like, this is my girlfriend, Damona.
Right.
And that became a thing. That became a thing. So maybe he should figure out, if he's listening, he should figure out how he's going to introduce her at the party.
Because
she said, the guy I'm seeing, she did not say my boyfriend.
So we have, speaking of relationships with different religions. I think you and Seth were different religions.
Our parents were both different religions,
okay.
And both the same different religions. Both of our parents were both the same different religions. Does that make sense?
Well, two wrongs make a right.
Exactly. So now we're both just like hodgepodge. The same one, though.
There you go. All right. We have a question from a young lady. Her middle name is Ray, R-A-E, which I adore. She says, I'm Christian and my fiance is Muslim. My family was accepting of him, but now that he's exploring his faith even more, my parents completely oppose. I'm torn between the two. I don't know what to do. Can anyone help?
This is tricky because I feel like there's a lot of bad press going around right now about the Muslim faith. And so I think we're in a really, this is going to get very heavy really quickly, but you asked the question, so I think we're in a time where people are kind of looking for the bad guy. And so while they might have liked him or liked the notion of you being with him when it was not serious, as the relationship has gone on and it's gotten more serious, and he's gotten more serious about his faith, and there's so much happening in the world where the Muslim faith is getting bad press, and few radical people are reflecting negatively on a whole lot of good people. I think her parents are just kind of probably misinformed. And they're also probably wondering, well, what does that mean for our daughter? Because if this relationship keeps going well, then is our daughter going to convert to Islam? I don't know. Those are questions that come up for parents. And what does that mean then for our grandchildren and for our family gatherings? And that's when parents start to kind of panic.
My take on this, as a guy that's done two interfaith relationships as a Christian or former Christian, my last name is still Christian, but I've dated two Jewish girls, and I've dealt with the Jewish parents, and really, let's just call it parents of any other religion other than your own.
Yeah, please do not stereotype my show.
And it's for me, I don't care what the parents think. My parents or other people's parents. Because guess what? They're not the ones that are going to be raising the kids together and being married together. So you know what? Mom, stepmom, stepdad, go pound sand. That's my take. So the way I look at this is, what is your door number one? One or two, either one of you, you or your significant other, has a approach towards life where religion's important. Door number two is both of you do not. It's not that important to you. It's like, okay, it's, you know, something you want to do, but not super important. Door number one, if religion is important to either one of you and you have different religions, time to walk away. It's just something that's not, it's not a fight. Relationships are hard enough. It's not a fight worth having. Door number two, both of you guys are like, you know, iffy about it. You'll practice. You're somewhat secular. Fine. Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Kwanzaa, Hindu, I don't care. That's fine.
We don't really celebrate Kwanzaa. But if it's, so, you know.
If it's important to you, no. If it's important to either one of you guys, this religion thing, no. Walk away. But again, tell the parents to go pound sand.
Again, I don't know where you get it, but great, great, very visual, visceral metaphor there. Wow. Hopefully you've gotten some useful advice out of this segment. If not, I know you've been entertained. Why not leave us a review and tell us just how entertained you've been by the Dates and Mates show? We're now at, what, 4.5 years here of Dates and Mates. Why not tell us what you love about it and tell a friend so we can have more people get dating and relationship advice? And you can post your own dating and relationship advice on the Textbird app. So go ahead and download it now. But don't go anywhere because there's more Dates and Mates right after this.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Welcome back. Dates and Mates is, the Dates and Mates train is still running on the track. How did I do, Ray?
on that intro?
Poor. 3 stars. 5 stars. I'll 4 stars.
Defer.
4 stars. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have one of our new segments where we do a deep dive on a particular topic based on dating and relationships. One thing that everybody's always asking, am I healthy in my sex life? Am I getting it enough? Am I doing it the right way? So I thought, why not? Well, actually, I think it was your recommendation to do this topic, right? Yes?
Sure. I'll take the credit.
So we're going to do the love expose. So what is a healthy sex life? I think we have to tackle a few factors. One, married versus single. Like, who's having more sex, really? I know who thinks they're having more sex, but who's really having more sex? Who's more satisfied? And what are the, everyone wants to know, am I normal? Like, how much should I be having sex? How long should it be lasting? And for my age, is it appropriate? So I looked at a couple studies, Ray, and it turns out that according to the Kinsey Institute, 18 to 29-year-olds have sex an average of 112 times per year. Average, I know. People in this room, of course, are above average, but average.
But oh, with
people so in this
with,
room.
That could be with multiple people or the same partner, correct?
Correct. Okay. It's incidence of sex. 30 to 39-year-olds, an average of 86 times per year, and 40 to 49-year-olds, an average of 69 times per year. 69.
So a steady drop.
A steady drop. It didn't say what happened after. And then at 50, they just stopped counting, I guess. But it said 13% of married couples have sex a few times a year, 45% a few times a month, and 34% 2 to 3 times per week, 7% 4 or more times per week. So most people are like a couple times a week.
So the extremes are 5 times a week, or the other end of the extreme is a few times a year.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Those are pretty wild swings.
I have heard from some people that have a lot of life challenges that happen, like sick kids and things like that, who are like, yeah, it's like a couple times a year. And I think I get that. I think the more things that are on your plate, it's not necessarily about your partner. Sometimes it's just about your own personal bandwidth. Like if you're depressed or if you're overworked, you know, you're stressed, you're not going to feel like having sex.
That's true. Okay. But, and I agree with that. But at the end of the day, it takes like 10, 15 minutes to crush. 10 or 15 minutes? Like, how busy and tired can you be? Yes, we have stretches for a few days. You don't get sleep. You're overworked. But, like, for a year, you're tired, quote unquote. Like, come on. I would say, like, at a bare minimum, get it in at least a couple times a week. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been dating, and I get that maybe I'm I haven't been married before.
Says the unmarried childless person.
True.
With a mic.
15 minutes to get your rocks off? Like 15 minutes. Think about all the other stupid things you do for 15 minutes, like watch The Bachelorette. Or
who said that was a stupid thing?
So
it's a good use of time. Sometimes I'd rather watch The Bachelorette, though. You know, I have a lot of priorities.
Okay, so there's actually there's a scientific reason why we should have sex twice a week, and it's because sperm actually lives for about 3 days. So when the sperm is inside the vagina, it can actually still inseminate a woman even a couple days later. So that's why men end up settling on this cycle of like they want to put a new batch inside their woman every few days, on average about 2 times a week, because then they know that their woman, like their sperm is inside. And it's like a evolutionary tactic to prevent other men from, other cavemen, if you will, to slip in and you know, do their caveman sperm deposit.
Okay. Then by that line of reasoning, is there a maximum number of times per week? Because science says that if men are having sex like every day, the potency of their sperm goes down. And so like if you're trying to get pregnant, doctors will recommend that you don't have sex every day, that you kind of save it up and wait until the woman is officially ovulating, and then you have your best chance of the swimmers getting up there.
True. Yeah, I mean, I would say if your goal is to get pregnant, maybe be a little bit more judicious with the old batch of caveman sperm.
But we're talking about, you're talking about it from an evolutionary perspective. So would you say then that having sex more than 2 to 3 times a week is evolutionarily abnormal?
I would say in the first like 6 months of the honeymoon phase that it's wise to just go nuts and have fun and go crazy.
Because it will never happen again.
I mean, I'm in the midst of it and it's amazing and it's, you know, it's fun. But I actually have heard other studies that corroborate what you've said, which is that for men, the ejaculation of sperm is actually, it's resources, it's energy and it's nutrients and all that other stuff. So doing it more than a few times a week actually isn't good for the body in the long term. So I think that's why that 2 to 3 times probably is wise. Don't stray too far either direction from that.
And don't watch porn in between.
And yeah, and like jerking off too much is not good for you. My question for you as a lady in the room is, how long should each session be?
Okay, so I did a little research on this too, because everyone wants to know, are they normal, right? And so they studied, I mean, of course, including foreplay, sex can last, you know, as long as it could last for a whole day if you really wanted to. But there's a finite amount of time that actual intercourse can last. I was surprised to learn that the average time for each couple ranged from 33 seconds to 44 minutes. And then I thought, 44 minutes. I don't know. That does sound like a long time.
No.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Well, that would include maybe
You're asking me as a lady.
That would maybe include some brining. This is a good thing sometimes.
What?
Brining.
I'm sorry. You don't know what Producer brining? Thomas? Did I miss something?
I can tell the sound.
I can tell from his knowing chuckle. Yeah. He knows what's up. He's done some brining.
Well, educate the masses, please.
Do you know what the concept of brining is?
I think it has something to do with cooking, which is gross right now.
You know, it involves a turkey usually, but it's when you're just kind of inside and you just kind of hang out. There's not a lot of pumping or thrusting. You just hang out for a little bit.
I honestly did not know that was a word for that.
Yes, you can't pump.
That's
for
fine.
45 minutes.
No, you can't.
You're not
pump.
A porn star.
And we don't trust me. We don't want you to pump for 44 minutes. We do not want to. We have things to do tomorrow. but the average actually was just 5.4 minutes.
Okay.
Which seemed a little short.
Skimpy.
A little short on the. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm a big fan of changing positions too.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, if you change
around a little bit.
If you have like 2 to 3 positions in one sexual session, you can go a lot longer than that.
I would say it should be the lesser of as soon as she comes or 10 minutes. Whichever one comes first is reasonable. My goal, I think most guys' goal, should be she should also come or have an orgasm. But if it takes 15, 20 minutes, maybe she's not in the right headspace at that time.
Maybe she wants to be watching The Bachelorette. I don't know.
How often do you think... If you could, so there's like the guy on top doing the work and then there's a female on top doing the work. Is there a breakdown that you would recommend? For instance, the guy should be doing the work 80% of the time and the woman should be on top 20% of the time, something like that.
No, I think it depends on your partner and what is pleasurable because certain positions are not comfortable for everybody and certain combinations of bodies don't work in certain positions.
What? Some yeah. bodies don't work with the woman on top. You're talking about the big girls.
Good point. I would say most positions do. For most people, it does work better with the woman on top. But you do have a good point there. But if there's a big height differential, it doesn't a lot of times work when the man is on top. If a man is
what?
Much, yeah. If the man is much taller,
so he always has to be on his back.
No,
if he's much taller.
I'm just saying it's a case by case basis, but you have to be in a position that gives both of you pleasure, right? And that changes based on the position. I think we're gonna need to bring out the Kama Sutra and do an educational session on a future episode.
That was a masterful job of avoiding the question, and I would say my answer would be probably 65% of the time the guy should be on top doing the work. 35% I'd like to see the girl. Getting on top and riding that pony.
You're assuming two positions are all that exist.
No, I'm saying, but the girl can be on top in different types of ways.
Oh, right.
And the man can be on top in different types of ways.
I will open your mind in another episode.
That last part was important. I was like, oh, we're going to get a...
On another episode. And I'll open your mind, too. If you're having an open mind, you should check out The Bachelorette. This is the first Black Bachelorette that has ever existed in the... 15 seasons of the show? 18 seasons? I'm not going to talk about it a long time because I'd like to get to dating ... and we have 1 minute left. But I think there's a lot of clowns in this season. I think there's a lot of clowns. And I can't imagine that this attractive, smart lawyer who could have her pick of any guys in the world, not just the guys on The Bachelor, is going to even suffer these fools for more than a couple of episodes.
Mm, I love that turn of phrase. Suffer fools.
But
I do not suffer fools gladly.
The way that they have been dealing with race, though, is abysmal. And a guy actually said, once I'm going black and I'm never going back or something like that. And she laughed and she's like, haha, I love that.
And you'd rather do this than have sex, Damona. Shame on you.
What else am I going to talk about on the Dates and Mates show? Okay, very quickly, dating ... Oh, Producer Thomas is telling us to wrap it up.
We can kick it to next week.
Okay, we'll kick it to next week. But we promise you, we will give you some dating dot, dot, dot on the next episode of Dates and Mates. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram, Damona Hoffman, Ray Christian underscore LA. I'm also on Twitter. And by the way, we're on iTunes and we love to read your reviews. So don't forget to leave a review and share the show with someone else. We'll be here next week with Carmelia Ray of Mom vs. Matchmaker. And until next week, happy dating.